Seema Singh is the ratepayer advocate here in New Jersey. Seema is an attorney who graduated from Seton Hall, first South Asian in a cabinet-level position in New Jersey government. She's also the president of the Asian Indian Chamber of Commerce, and Seema's been a great friend to the Policy Network, to the American Immigration Lawyers Association, to a lot of immigration advocates in New Jersey, and she's going to talk to us about some of the New Jersey issues that we've been talking about today. Okay?
Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome all of you here today, and I'm most grateful to have been invited here by Dr. Banerjee to speak to all of you today concerning human rights for immigrants. As the first South Asian American to serve as a cabinet member in the state government, I have become very aware of the serious problems that are facing immigrants today in New Jersey. And even before I entered public service or state service, I was an advocate for the recognition and expansion of immigrants' economic, cultural, and human rights. And this afternoon, I will discuss some of the problems that I have encountered that face New Jersey's immigrant population and are hampering their integration into this society. Our state has one of the largest and most diverse populations of any state in the nation, and this is largely because of immigration. Recent population estimates indicate that this state, the state of New Jersey, is adding people faster than any other state in the Northeast, primarily because of the increase in migration from Asia, from Latin America, and from the Middle East. In the 1990s alone, New Jersey's immigrant population increased by 500,000 and accounted for almost 75% of the state's overall population increase during the decade. These newcomers contribute greatly to the healthy economic growth of this state. And even though the increase in numbers of immigrants should increase public awareness to the recognition and protection of human rights for immigrants in New Jersey, surprisingly and unfortunately, more and more of New Jersey's newcomer populations are confronting difficulties with or wrongful denials of access to basic services and educational opportunities. Heightened public awareness of these problems and demonstrations of concern that can make a difference will only come when individuals like yourselves, advocacy organizations, and conferences like this make the human rights of immigrants a statewide and a national priority. We all know that the immigrant populations of New Jersey, as in other states, are very hesitant to speak out on their own behalf without broad-based popular support. Many are still living under the long shadow of the tragic terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, and the resulting backlash of general anti-immigrant feelings and actions, especially amongst people of color. The United States government has accelerated its efforts to detain and to deport immigrants who are legally present in the United States, especially Arabs, Muslims, and many South Asians. And in addition, the reported hate crimes against immigrants throughout this country have also increased since 9/11. These realities alone have made resident aliens even more reluctant because of the fear and intimidation to seek governmental assistance or to complain about the lack of proper access to public services. And I am very concerned, not only because I am, like many of you here today, an immigrant to this land, trying to raise a bicultural child, and I'm a public servant, but also because of the spiritual and ethical values that I first learned from my family while growing up in India. The importance of community support and the moral obligation to respond to calls for assistance by those in greater need than we are were the most important lessons of my youth. These are the traditions I brought with me when I arrived in the United States. I built on these values as an attorney, a community activist, and a public servant in state government. As the ratepayer advocate for the state of New Jersey, my responsibilities include representation of the interests of the state consumers of all electric, natural gas, water, wastewater, telecommunications, and cable TV services whenever the companies which sell these vital commodities seek to change their rates or services. On a daily basis, I participate in the fight to establish and maintain reliable, safe, and affordable access to these essential services for all New Jersey residents, particularly the elderly, the poor, the young, disabled, and foreign-born. In addition, as the public advocate designate, I have received many requests for assistance from state residents, often from non-citizens, with a wide range of social and legal issues that include problems with obtaining motor vehicle licenses, tax concerns, lost documents, the inability to pay their bills, child and spousal abuse, and a diverse array of other issues. Each complaint that was brought to my attention has compelled me to seek answers to these concerns and to assist those who are too often without the means to properly help themselves whenever possible. The first of such issues was in the educational arena. We all know that educational access can mean the difference between a dependent newcomer family and families that can care for themselves and can be employed gainfully in the public and private sectors. Those without education get left behind in this increasingly complex and demanding economy, limiting their quality of life and the futures of all of their children. Therefore, it is very clear that access to all levels of education is one of the most important concerns facing immigrants in New Jersey today. And it is one I have made a priority, starting with access to primary schooling. K through 12 education is for granted by many, but you will be surprised that every year throughout New Jersey, children of immigrant parents are unfairly and illegally prevented from attending public schools by local officials because of their status. Our state constitution guarantees that every child between the age of 5 and 20 is entitled to a public school education. State and federal law do not permit school officials to refuse to enroll children because of their immigration or their visa status. Yet, much too frequently, access is still denied. And what is worse is that when this happens, many fail to realize that they and their children have been wronged and that they have the power under the law to appeal this denial. My office circulates information concerning the rights of non-citizen and newcomer children to public education. And this information provides advice on how to appeal and reverse illegal efforts by school officials to shut out immigrant children to K through 12 schooling. Each new school year brings hope and accomplishment to our future generations. And we must help all newcomers to this state understand that their children have every right to benefit from these promises and to enjoy these opportunities. But access to primary education is only the first step. As people from throughout the globe continue to arrive in New Jersey, they come from many cultures, all of which have influenced the development of modern society. As our state and the world that we all live in become more diverse, more interconnected, and more intimate, the influence of these many cultures must be integrated into public education so that the contributions of these cultures of all the state's children are discussed accurately and treated with respect. To this end, there are efforts underway in New Jersey to internationalize state educational curricula to better prepare all students for the global economy and geopolitics of the 21st century. The former governor of New Jersey had asked me to serve as the chair of the Asian Education Curricula Initiative, which prepared the Asian Studies report. And this report focused on the need to add the diverse, influential, and important cultures and languages of Asia to state education curricula K through 12. Although the rationale and assumptions of this initiative are focused only on Asia, they are just as relevant to the incorporation of the economic, political, spiritual, and artistic achievements of people from all newcomer groups into New Jersey school curricula. The recommendations of the report include teaching students recognition of and respect for the contributions to the arts, the sciences, to the intellectual life and accomplishments of many cultures. To provide the children of immigrants positive self-images and awareness and pride in their dual cultural heritage. And to provide sufficient knowledge and respect for diverse cultures so that as adults, they can participate intelligently in the economic, social, cultural, and political life of this country, increasingly dependent on global relationships. These changes to school curricula can have a positive impact on all our children, who, if they are from newcomer families, must learn that their cultural backgrounds are neither a secret nor shameful. At the same time, all the children of New Jersey must be educated to treat others from other cultural backgrounds with respect and to participate effectively and appropriately in the political, artistic, and economic affairs of the 21st century. These efforts to improve access and enrich education for the 21st century must not stop at the end of high school for our children. New Jersey, like the rest of the United States, increasingly requires highly educated, highly skilled workforce which relies on higher education. Therefore, access to affordable public higher education is also essential in today's world. Unfortunately, non-citizens are often also unfairly shut out of higher educational opportunities even after their successful high school careers because they are denied cheaper in-state tuition rates to the state higher education system even though they are full-time New Jersey residents. This unacceptable situation is the byproduct of the 1996 Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act, which discourages public colleges and universities from charging undocumented applicants in-state tuition rates. This prohibition has been extended even to legal non-citizens. Thus, the resulting financial burdens of non-resident tuition make it impossible for many promising students to be able to afford to pursue university degrees. For example, here at Rutgers University in the 2004-2005 academic year, in-state tuition is approximately $6,800, while non-resident tuition is about $13,800. And this amounts to about $28,000 in additional costs over the course of a typical four-year program. New Jersey-based students declared ineligible for resident tuition are unfairly required to pay this high non-resident tuition, assuming they can all afford to pay it. All is not lost, however. In New Jersey, there are ongoing legislative efforts at the state level to provide newcomer students better access to higher education. And these efforts need all of our continuing support. In the state legislature, there are two current New Jersey proposals similar to legislation that was passed in several other states, including our neighboring state of New York, to allow high school graduates, regardless of their immigrant status, to pay in-state tuition rates. Both Senate Bill No. 78, sponsored by Senator Ronald Rice, and Assembly Bill 2267, sponsored by Assemblywoman Nilsa Cruz Perez and Assemblyman Wilfredo Caraballo and Gordon Johnson, would permit students who are non-citizens to pay in-state tuition at public colleges and universities as long as they attend high school in-state for 3 or more years. They graduate from the high school or they receive the equivalent of a high school diploma and file an affidavit with the public institution stating that they filed an application to legalize their status, or they will file such an application as soon as they're eligible to do so. Both of these bills are awaiting a review by the Education Committee in each legislative house, and I urge everyone here to support these proposals by contacting the bill sponsors and other legislators from around the state and to urge their support for enactment of these bills. They are very imperative for the immigrant community. And we must ensure that all promising students, whatever their immigration status is, receive access to higher education. They, their communities, and our state and nation will all benefit from their expanded educational opportunities. In addition to these educational opportunities, another problem which was brought to my attention and which affects the human rights of New Jersey immigrants, and one which seriously affects the ability of newcomers to earn a decent living and to become integrated into the society, is the ability to freely obtain and renew driver's licenses. As soon as I was appointed by the governor and my appointment was announced, I began to receive requests for assistance from newcomers unable to become licensed drivers in New Jersey. And thereafter, I was contacted by the New Jersey Immigration Policy Network, the American Civil Liberties Union, and the American Friends Service Committee, expressing their concerns about how state efforts to comply with new federal Homeland Security guidelines had caused the implementation of licensing changes in 2003, which were resulting in the removal of driving eligibility for many non-citizen drivers, and they were imposing disparate burdens on new and renewing non-citizen driver applicants. In fact, the first problem that was brought to me was related to difficulties incurred by newcomers who had international driver's licenses. And I discovered the smoking gun, that during the Whitman administration, Indian drivers particularly who came in with an international driver's license were specifically and expressly excluded from consideration for a waiver of the road test, while all other foreign drivers from other countries who participated in the international convention were eligible for such waivers. I immediately brought this to the attention of the Commissioner of Transportation, who immediately reversed such discrimination on Indian drivers. And today I'm happy to report, despite some glitches right now, there is an effort to treat Indian drivers equally. The second incident I encountered were cases where special difficulties were being expressed by non-citizens who are legally in the United States to obtain a driver's license because they failed to satisfy the new 6-point identification verification program, which is in place for obtaining a New Jersey driver's license today. And these problems were brought to my attention by attorneys from the New Jersey Immigration Policy Network, the ACLU, and other groups who were facing the difficulties the 6-point identification program was imposing on non-citizens. As all of you know, the 6-point program requires applicants to produce several types of documentation as proof of identity in order to qualify for licenses. Unfortunately, many required forms of documents are very difficult for immigrants, including a social security number, which precludes many otherwise eligible aliens from obtaining licenses. In addition, if the licenses were issued, they were linked to expire on the expiration date of diverse immigration documents. This brought unreliable and unfair results because many different dates are contained on the various documents used to formalize the status of immigrants depending on the circumstances under which they were admitted to the United States. I met with the Motor Vehicle Commissioner and other officials to call attention to the serious and prejudicial problems arising from the Motor Vehicle Commission's 6-point program and to fight for the equitable reforms which would re-establish and further protect immigrant driving eligibility without compromising national security. In 2004, as a result of our efforts and a result of the Immigration Lawyers Network's efforts as well, and of activists like yourself, the Motor Vehicle Commission created alternative procedures for non-citizens who did not possess social security cards, as well as revising expiration date procedures so that licenses issued would expire on dates certain to be based upon the latest issued immigration documents. Although the system is today by no means perfect, it has definitely improved, and every effort is being made to assist non-citizens to obtain a driver's license. But despite these reforms, we must not rest. Though we succeeded in making the state adjust its licensing policies, the interests of New Jersey's immigrant population must still be guarded. I still receive many complaints from non-citizens about problems arising from the abuse of discretion by motor vehicle employees at regional vehicle commission offices and the issuance of driver's licenses to non-citizens. In fact, yesterday I met with Sharon Harrington, the chief administrator of MVC, to discuss these issues and other details, and we, together with the MCV, are striving to make changes to these problems. And another good news that she told me was that MVC currently is offering automated driver's written tests in 10 different foreign languages to cater to the immigration population, which is wonderful news. And in addition, my office is also going to very shortly again issue information in Spanish, Chinese, and English on all the issues that I have just addressed above.
Thank you.
Thank
Seema.
You.
That was
Sorry.
Really fantastic, and we're very lucky to have you in the office to be a link for all of us and Trenton, and we look forward to working with you a lot more in the future.
Sure.